Blog Talk Radio.
Team of Voices, and you can find us on allpoetry.com. If you wander your way to allpoetry.com, you can stumble into a group called a Team of Voices, and if you do that, Deborah Lee will be at the door and let you in, and then you will be able to follow all the words of the poems that will be on the show tonight. And that show, normal times, would be presented by Liquid Damage, who's a wonderful poet. And but I suspect she's just been held up, so I'm going to start off the show for her. When she arrives, she can take over. We'll see. I suspect she won't be too long. Anyway, there you go. So while that's happening, we'll kick off the show. And that tune to open us up, The Words You Cannot Say, was performed by Shout Stephen Shy, wonderfully talented poet, Faroe Islands. And the words of that particular song were from my good friend on the site, a poet called Jay Hatter, who may be dropping by a little bit later. So that's sort of all the administrative stuff to kick off the show. A big shout out to Samara, who I think is listening in while Natalie trying to get a birthday cake together. So good luck with that. I'd rather be hosting a radio show than attempting to do a cake, because one step and you're gone. You know, and I'll probably be rolling for about 90 minutes, I suspect, with all of the different sound clouds and things that we have. If you want to call in, you certainly can. The number to call in is 646-668-2837. I'll say that again, probably slower. 646-668-2837. Now, that assumes, of course, that you are in the continental United States. If, like me, you are here talking from Australia, you need to add the plus one at the front of that. And if you were in Singapore, which I was only about 10 hours ago, you need to add the plus one as well. So if you're somewhere other than the United States, don't forget that you need to put that plus one on to get to the US to get to the Blog Talk Studio, 668-2837. Okay, so we have a series of poems on the board and sound clouds, and it's always interesting to sort of work out where to start with the poets that we've got, because they're all very different and all have different talents and skills. So I thought we might actually kick off with one of my favourite writers that has gone and put something on the board for us. So, and since Liquid Damage is not here, I get to choose. When she comes here, she gets to choose, but until then, I'll choose. And this is a piece from Gerald Green that I think, hold on, we have a caller. Just one tick. Hello and welcome to A Team of Voices. Who am I speaking with?
You know who. How you doing, guy?
Ah, it's the Ratster. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Excellent.
Missing my buddy from Singapore.
Well, you know, I've been just, you know, been sitting there and writing away as you do, and it was good fun. I really enjoyed it. So talk about that a little bit more too. But Singapore was great fun. I just, you know, it's a strange thing to say you're going to fly 8 hours and take a taxi 45 minutes to go to a place that you've got this real connection with, that's this sort of piece of serenity in the middle of something that's ridiculously not serene. But it is. It's really weird. It's really weird. Private. But sometimes you just find a place somewhere in the world and it really works for you. And this is a place that really works for me. And I've got better at sort of trying to question that and work out why that is. I just sort of say, well, that's an ease. It works really well, you know. So I really enjoy it, so I'll go back, you know.
You embrace Shangri-La.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I'll talk about that a bit.
Awesome.
But it's good fun. I just sort of, you know, everybody has their own sort of Shangri-La, don't they, Brad? You know, it doesn't have to be Shangri-La. It can be the rock pool down the back of your grandmother's place or whatever. Yeah, so it's, most people have a far less sophisticated Shangri-La than me. you know, whatever works, really, is my sort of short statement of all of this. So anyway, so before you joined us, and we'll have to get a SoundCloud from you too, Jack, but before we do all that, I was going to play and put up on the board a piece from Gerald Green. And so we'll do that, and then that'll kick us off. And at some point, Linda will join us, I'm sure. Yeah, it's just whenever that is. So here we go. Here's Gerald.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. Legacy of the Minion, written and read by Gerald Green. To be remembered came upon me in the night. I awoke with sudden urgency, afraid. confused and tired. There is no legacy for cannon fodder. I pissed in every ocean, spread myself across the globe, and yet no one remembers. There is no mark or plaque acknowledging what is. All like me have come and gone, have seen and felt the river, rinsing waste from every generation, cleansing with transparent blood. I stand upon its bank, refusing to be silent, adding color with my urinetic voice, a golden stream upon a stream. This becomes my final statement. I have made my monument, have changed the world in my own way. Let the fish and all aquatic creatures absorb and spread my DNA. End poem.
Well, there you go. I wasn't expecting that.
Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
Thank you, Gerald. Were you expecting that, Rack? I wasn't expecting that. I mean, you know. I have a caller, Rack, so let's just see who this might be. Hello, 419. How are you?
Hey, AP. Hey, Rack.
Hey!
It's Adam.
How are we going?
What's up?
G'day, Adam. How are you?
Speaking of flattering.
Hey, yeah, I'm totally unexpected, AP. I got to hear the poem. Like, I heard from Gerald. Yeah. I loved it, by the way. But go on, man.
Yeah, so did I. So did I. Because everybody thinks about sort of what their sort of mark on the world is going to be, and you know, and no, seriously, and everybody talks about that in sort of big highfalutin terms, and then he just sort of cuts the chase, doesn't he? Really.
But he thought like a dog, you know. That's a dog's way of marking his territory.
Well, I get that, but I mean, I just really liked it. I thought it was quirky as all hell, but
so.
I really liked it. I'm like you, Adam. You know,
What struck me the most, I think, was in the beginning when he mentions cannon fodder, and you know, it reminded me of the things and that like, you know, like if we talk about cassette tapes or 5 1/4 inch.
Mm.
People don't know what that is anymore, so it takes artists to put it into poetry and art to remind people what cannon fodder is, you know? It's a lovely expression, but, you know, it's going to fade away if people don't use it anymore.
Yeah, no, true enough. And it was a really interesting, this great image that he had to write to, so, and he did it. Yeah, it was. He did it real justice. I really like it. The great thing about Gerald is he just comes with a view, and it's often completely from 95 degrees, and it's just lovely, you know. And he states it like Leonard Nimoy. It's just wonderful, you know.
Dare I say, Gerald's a pisser.
Yeah, no. Well, you could do that, Rack, but we wouldn't. Now, Adam, did you put something on the board? I'm just thinking that you might have.
No, I haven't put anything.
Haven't put anything up there? No. Well, look, I'm very glad you did. I'm very glad you did because, and you please stay on, you know, because we're waiting on for Linda, and she is going to show up at some point, you know, since it's her show, you know. And the great thing about Liquid Damage is that, you know, she actually has, like, she works. She does some work before the show. She gets all these sort of corny jokes and puts them in and has them all ready to roll and has her comments all ready to roll. She's actually really organized. Which is completely different from me. Far more professional, you know. She is. She, you know, exactly what she's doing. She's got a plan, and she just goes after it, and she'll be horrified that she's actually not here. So, but anyway, we'll make it happen when she does. So, but if you want to dig something out, Adam, this is, you know, this is sort of free sort of, you know, night to dig out anything you like, really, and Gerald's just, you know, taking us down a path. When we start with anything, we might as well go where you go from there.
I like the path he's led. He's led.
Yeah, so do I. I'm just not sure where to go from there, that's all. Because you sort of go, okay, well, one poem leads to another and all that sort of stuff. I'm not sure where the hell you go from there. But anyway, that's sort of a nice problem to have.
Upstream, you
know,
you go upstream.
It's a nice problem to have. You go upstream.
Yeah, upstream. Try to fight the stream.
Yeah. Upstream.
Because if you go downstream, it's gonna get ugly.
And so I should say too, because I've just got some comments here from Laughing Soul, who said that she's just sort of waking up and so she'll be a little bit. So we will leave her calm until she gets to us, because you know, that I think is the best thing to do. It's always better to have somebody read their own stuff. So, you know, I can do it till the cows are blue, but it's still nowhere near as good. So let us then go, I think, absent any other sort of good idea, I'm going to go to Pretty Bird, because, you know, she can write the heck out of everything. And so I've got no idea what she's written about, but, you know, whatever it is, it'll be good. And so, and she has sent us a SoundCloud as well, and it is a heck of a good title, by the way. Mile Markers and Mixed Metaphors, or I Need a Row of Real Spirits. I see, the title alone wins for me. It does. You know, you just look at that and you go, oh, okay, that's cool. Now, I'm just looking at the list here, just refreshing to make sure. Here we go. So we've got Pretty Bird here for Linda, so that's always a good start. And so I'm going to play that right now. Here we go.
Mile Markers and Mixed Metaphors, or I Need a Row of Real Spirits by Pretty Bird. You were supposed to be indelible, yet you break through my skin like shards of bone. The blank space on my heart grows as you fade, piece by piece, from overused memory. Pixels in place of your person, purgatory and prayer, a Midori sour anomaly of life and leftovers. If you were here, I'd hate you. But you're gone, and I love you. I try to love you. I pretend to love you. I still hate you. As I hate myself for believing your beautiful lies, turning me into a Shirley Temple shadow patron. Macerated emotions and graded dreams reach through my being with each graze of your skin, unnoticed. Losing the scraps of you left behind feels like swallowing nails in front of a magnet. Maybe, if you were here, I'd love you. I'd try to love you. I'd pretend to love you. I'd still hate you. You were supposed to be indelible.
Losing the scraps of you left behind feels like swallowing nails in front of a magnet. That's not sort of a visual, is it, really? Rack, did you want to say a few words about Pretty Bird's piece?
Oh, man. I mean, from the beginning, she gets me all the time. I love the references to things like Midori Sours and Shirley Temples, you know. I'm sure they have personal meaning, but, you know, even though you don't know what it is, it's still meaningful. And, you know, in the end, everybody's leaves is, I think, what she's talking about. And that's the ultimate gut punch to me for something like this, you know. You're supposed to be indelible, and, you know, something that doesn't come out, something that doesn't go away, and then they're gone. So it kind of sticks with you. And, you know, by mentioning the drinks in the middle, it also, you know, makes me think a little bit of a hangover, something that doesn't quite go away, even though it's gone. So I really, really appreciate her writing all of the metaphors like she talks about all the time. You know, I just really enjoy her work. Beautiful piece.
Yeah, I agree. And I love the transition in that piece, in the stanza. I try to love you. I pretend to love you, and I'd still hate you. There's something really powerful about that. Adam, what is it of this one by Pretty Bird?
I love it. It's, it has her all up in it, her smart aleck kind of way, which is...
Yeah.
Because it's really great. I was like, when it got to the breaks with I Try to Love You, I Pretend to Love You, I Still Hate You, like her acting, voice acting in it is awesome, and it really helps add to the piece. Gorgeous. You know, hearing it done by her, her rhymes are great. I love what she blends together. The overall thought here, I find, is amazing, and you know like Rec pretty much covered. But I love that she does it in that kind of because it is a mixed up thing when something is supposed to be indelible. Unbreakable,
yeah.
Or something you're not supposed to lose. It should never fade. And it does, right? But it's like angry. There's an anger to it, an angst about it, you know, and I find that appealing in this.
Well, I'm going to then turn, because this one actually does make some sense to go to. Right? So I'm hoping that, as I said, Linda will be with us soon, and I'm going to take the opportunity to sort of read what I sort of call the anecdote, or the opposite to what Pretty Bird just said. And this is sort of like, one day I'll wake up and Rack will write a poem like this and I'll fall over. And so this is Us by Heavenly Angel, and it goes a little bit like this. I've been looking and searching for years on a journey of exploration, not knowing where the path would lead. Before I knew your name, your essence embraced my soul, a silhouette against life's backdrop, not yet to be revealed until the time was right. Until the time we became us. No matter what obstacles may come our way, we know we stand as grand oaks intact, intertwining, intermingling, a fusion of sorts. Anything you want, I strive to be, for it's not the dwelling in which one lives, but the heart in which one dwells. Everything we do, every moment we spend is worth everything to me. Us, my favourite thing to be. End poem. How's that? Ridiculously uplifting. Adam, what did you think? That's quite incredible. Adam, what did you think of that poem?
Oh, man, it touched me. It was totally uplifting to feel, you know, to feel that devotion coming through this. I'm a sap. Not just sappy, but I fall right in, and I think I break? Because I broke, but I held it together. But I broke. Let me tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Shattered inside. When anything you want, I strive to be, for it's not the dwelling in which one lives, but the heart in which one dwells. That was it.
Yes.
That was the punch in this whole thing. This poem.
Yep.
That was the punch right there. And then she lets it,
lets
it down easy from there. But that was the boom, the knockout, like give my heart right there. I was like, man, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was great. It touched me.
Yep. No, agreed. I thought it was really cool. Rack, what did you think of this poem?
I enjoy when she gets romantic like that, which is most of the time.
Mm.
You know, it's just she really exemplifies what it means to be in love, and takes the ideas and just runs with them. You know, you could easily picture yourself in that situation, and you know, it's one of those things where people that don't know better, they'll tend to gravitate towards it, because you know they're like, you know, that's what I want, you know, and you get the unwanted attention. It's beautiful, but at the same time, it's like, you know, okay, back off, bucko, you know. it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It is. It is beautiful. I mean, I think that's the thing about it, isn't it, really? You just love to be in a situation where you were the person that was being written about, you know? I just think that's really, you know, very... Look, it is very touching, and it's quite beautiful to have that degree of joy and pleasure in writing about somebody. And I have... he just sent a link on the board to Laughing Soul with the phone number for the show. So +1 646 668 2837, if I've copied it right. Yeah, I think I have. It's always a risk when you're sort of doing two things at once that you don't only stuff one up, you stuff two up. But I think I have actually put the right number. So Laughing Soul, if you call +1 646 668 2837, you'll be able to read your piece live to air, which will be lovely. Because we always enjoy your recordings. Yes, I know.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. That's why I've got the +1 on there, so that she gets to America.
Okay.
So, fingers crossed. Yeah, no. Seriously. Or otherwise, she could go anywhere. God knows. She'd go to Chennai or something if she didn't put the +1 on. So, you know, everybody's got their own set of numbers. But you put the +1, you're okay. So, fingers crossed. We'll see Laughing Soul live, because I think I've spoken to Laughing Soul live. I think she's always had her recordings because of the time difference, of course. So, because it must be pretty early there, actually. It must be around about 27 or something like that. So, we'll ask her when she comes on, but it must be fairly early. So anyways. But yes, no, I'm, and I should say while we're waiting for that to happen, I am back in Melbourne. I have been up to the wonderful world of Singapore, where I've been for the past week, and the sole reason for me going up to Singapore was to write. So it was a writing holiday. Not a work holiday, so I didn't do any work stuff, which means I can't do any tax deductions, but that's life. We'll get over it. But I was up to writing. So I've decided that the next book I do, or the next thing I do, crack, will be I will do a novel, a modern romantic novel, of course, because I've got so much experience writing a novel. In fact, I've got zero. But... I've decided that's what I'm going to do, and I had written 15,000 words, which wasn't bad really, up till the time I went to Singapore for 6 days. So I've got 15,000 words in. You need about 70,000 words for a decent novel, you know, 200 pages or so. And I've written another 11,000 words in the past 6 days, so I've now got 26,000 words, which is more than a third of the book.
Well on your way.
Well into it now, you know. So,
well done.
So that was a good thing to do, you know, just as a thing to do. But it's interesting, the process. I mean, you know, I know so little about writing a book, I can't begin to tell you. I know less about writing a book than just about anybody. But what I do know is that you've got to find somewhere that works for you in terms of where you write, and for some people that's just down the road, and for some people that's in Singapore. We do have a caller. Hello, 916. How are you?
Hello.
Hello, 916. Hello.
Hey. Oh, I'm unmuted. Okay. Hey, Pete, it's
you Matt. Are unmuted, Hatter. You were muted, and now you are not.
Cool.
So,
I made it.
How are you going?
I'm fine. I'm surprised to hear your voice. I didn't expect you to be posted.
Well, see, I was in Singapore, Hatter, and then that, you know, I flew back overnight last night. And so for most people, that would mean that you would be a blathering mess at this particular point, because you'd, you know, got on the plane at 12:30 and you got out of the plane at 10 o'clock and you'd actually missed the night, yeah?
How long did it take you to fly there?
8 hours?
7 hours and 45 minutes, okay. Give or take the odd thunderstorm. And
are you gaining time? Losing it?
You're gapping time a little bit, yeah. So 3 hour time difference back the other way. Does that make any sense?
Lewis.
But yeah. So, and we do have another caller though. Hello, 814. How are you?
I'm doing fine. This is Blue.
Blue, how are you? I haven't heard from you for ages.
I know it's been a long time. Good to hear you.
Yeah, yeah, it has been a long time. And but you do, but you know that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. You know, I mean, you've been doing your stuff and I've been doing my stuff, and we intersect somewhere in the middle of the stuff. That's all you can say. You know. So
yeah.
Now I know because I actually did such a small amount of reading in preparation for this, but I know that you don't have a lot of time. And so I have put your palm up on the board. How's that?
Oh, that's so great of you. You're great. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Let me...
We would love you to read it.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, AP, just let me know.
So I'm ready right now. I'm that organized. Well, okay. Not really, but, you know, we'll go for it.
The name of the poem is called Nantucket Memories of the Fall. It begins, I crouch within goldenrod's bonfire of the fall foliage. Pages soften, flapping on the railings by hand-aged ivory. Black shale rivers breathe in turquoise masonry washed with lime. We find harmonious externalities seen in the surrounding farm. Senses in heavy silence, enchanted in the unspeaking night. Lighthouse burning brisk. Glints of vacillation and numbered progression sparkling communique. Frenzied chords amid blossom, depth striving, height stride. Surging sinews stretch forth, living on the breath of the wind. Yearning be stilled as moonlight spirit urges on compassion. Bell buoys broadcast walking with angels in a 360 reach. Clouds wander through vermilion reeds. Stories whisper miracles of singularity. The nebulous terracotta, aurora's crystalline, seal's concave bone. Silent, abandoned, thoughts fall captive asleep. Illumination, breathless, fog dances with phantoms, dreams and reverie. Manta fragments, Cape Cod, drenched plankton. Meadows, boundaries bubble, allspice choirs along the earth. Rain crackles, down turning without rest, sprinkling, scourging, agitates, misted drizzles, vaporous air throb. Sun-speckled wood in the mystery of light guides. The birch's cider in rust greenhouse, delicate limbs look with amazement. Castleman fields, stillness folding about. Murmurs bring you a walk through the moors. Heliotropic currents, ripple warnings, tunneling surge. Honey-colored leaves crunching beneath our feet. The cranberry bogs, bright pop of red. Apple landscapes, molten metal shade. Autumn's cobblestone yellows, pumpkin brown, breezing through our hair. Buzzing as hidden insects, frivolous, turning the ocean shades to deeper blues. And that's the end of my poem.
That's quite lovely, actually. There's some beautiful descriptions there, by the way. Some beautiful descriptions. And the nice thing about it is that that part of the world does have a very beautiful feel to it, and the colours are quite distinctive. Now, there's probably about 2.5 Australians that have actually been in that part of the world, up towards Rhode Island, and I'm one of them. Yeah, right. I have been to Rhode Island. I've been to Rhode Island several times. And it is a beautiful part of the world, an absolutely beautiful part of the world. And the colours are just incredibly distinctive, not just with the
not just with the trees, but with the buildings as well, and just the way that the whole thing comes together is really unlike anywhere else I've been. It's really quite beautiful. So I really appreciated the way that you use colour and you explain colour, because it is quite different in that part of the world. So very, very well done.
Yes, like the cranberry bogs, a lot of people don't know what those are, or the moors.
Yes.
A lot of people may not know that. They may not know that the cranberry
yes.
bogs are actually a once-a-year thing in the fall, where it's just like a whole seafull, you know, right on the coast of just, you know, cranberries, you know, just
yeah.
is, and they're
yeah.
like the only place on the eastern seaboard that does that. So little things
no,
like that.
It's wonderful. So really, really, really impressive. Adam, did you want to say a few words about Blues Palm?
Yeah, I was writing my comment. I'll just read that so far. I said, such amazing, vivid, fresh descriptions and imagery. What you've painted here is nearing the purity of the nature itself. I was on this journey, seeing these amazing sights done, and that's where I stopped typing, done before my eyes with you, and I appreciate you bringing me on that journey. I have not seen this, but you brought it to life before, you know, within my mind and my eyes, like you, I mean, the way your descriptions meld and blend and create and paint with the words is, like I said, you know, it nears nature, you know, seeing the visceral nature itself. You had me there with you seeing all this, and thank you for that. And bravo, there is some amazing, like, the freshness of your work, your aligning of words
yeah.
and imagery is unique and fresh beyond anything I've seen quite recently, so holy shit. Oh, holy crap, holy.
Thank you.
My bad.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. Hadda, did you get a chance to listen to that, please?
Yeah, I did. At first, I thought it was comparing like the ocean to the sky. Then I remembered the title was the Autumn Colors. And yeah, you did a good job with the description. You mentioned the cranberry bogs.
Uh-huh.
Now, do they actually need waist deep in water when
yep.
they harvest? How does that go? Is that really okay?
Yes.
So, I've never seen is it a tree or a bush?
No, it's
no.
vines.
They're vine and vines. Okay. I've never been to Rhode Island. I thought you did a very
you
good
don't.
Job.
You've got to go to Rhode Island. You know, that's what we're saying. You know, you've got to go there. Rack, did you want to say a few words about Blues Palm?
Yeah, I mean, it was beautifully visual, and I want to even say regional, because the minute he mentioned the lighthouses, I pictured where he was talking about. Didn't necessarily associate them with the cranberry bogs, but I knew what he was talking about. Ocean Spray actually had a commercial at one point. Literally, like Hadda was mentioning, where the people were standing waist deep. And it's really wild to see them when they harvest them. They actually have this scoop that looks like it's got teeth on the end of it for taking the berries off the thing. And they kind of run them through the thing to get the cranberries. It's wild. And then when you mentioned the moors, I didn't realize that. That made me think of Sherlock Holmes in England. I didn't necessarily associate that with Cape Cod. But you know, I thought your visuals were beautiful, colorful, spot on, and that's, you know, coming from me. So you had me thinking you were a man from Nantucket. Beautiful piece. The
Thank
AP,
you.
I didn't go
Thank
there.
Nice.
Well done.
You restrained yourself very well. The other thing I remember about Rhode Island was how seriously they take their chowder. Like, you know, you go into a restaurant and there'd be four or five different types of chowder, all with an explanation of why they were different. And it was like, wow. You know,
chowder.
Chowder. Like, you know,
chowder.
There's not just one chowder there. There's like multiple chowders and chowder, like, you know, chowder. And I had to have some. I'm not a big chowder fan, but I just like, Jesus, if this is how seriously they take it, you've got to have some of the stuff, you know?
But anyway. Now, I was going to say, you're very happy to hang out with us, Xylophonic Blues, but as I said, I know you don't have much time. So, and thank you very, very much for calling up and actually reading your poem. Makes a huge difference. Thank you.
It's really been a pleasure talking to you again, AP, and everyone else. Thank you. I appreciate you doing this for me.
Thanks, my pleasure. Great pleasure. Love to have you on. Like to hear you again. Thank you again.
Okay, have a good night, all. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Okie doke. Thank you to Xylophonic Blues. It's been ages since I've spoken to him. Must have been a few years, I reckon, on the radio. So we still don't have Liquid Damage, and we're sort of rolling around for 40 minutes in, so I hope she's okay to call in, Linda, just to say you're okay. I might, I think, at this point, put my little poem on the board, because she was, you know, I was sort of thinking about what can I do, because you don't want to sort of come to a place and not have a poem, yeah? So I wrote a poem while I was waiting, virtually on hold, and then I had to, you know, become the host. So I wrote a poem. And so this is about Singapore, go figure. This is called Serenity. It goes a little bit like this. All around lies a form of organized chaos, the heaving mass bodies, a city of success. While among a place with stones of moss, find an oasis from the surrounding stress. There are small plants here at every turn. A fresh orchid in flower sits upon each table. Quotes placed on the morn so can discern a path where yours alone becomes fable. And spaces abound with reflective peace, whether in acres of gardens or in the lobby, and creativity will buy such freedom release, no matter if this is your day job or as a hobby. So despite the real expense and distance, this is one of the few places which to me is core. Return in months as fine as this insistence to the one and only Shangri-La, Singapore, in bonds.
Singapore.
And that, if you're wondering, is the real picture of the real sign-in desk of Shangri-La, Singapore, which basically has all of these silver and gold cranes, about two stories of them, going into the Chinese-themed painting behind, past these 10 Greek columns of stone, which sit above the thing of, you know, they're like three stories high, they're about 12 feet wide, and they're holding a marble ceiling. So it's a place. Anyway, there you go.
Beautiful.
I go there. It is. It's well, you know, it depends on your style, you know. Rack, if you're into over-the-top marble with lots of sort of sculpture and marble, the odd plant.
Yeah, I want to say you almost have to be. You almost have to be when you're talking about Shangri-La in Singapore. It's legendary. I mean, it's literally the stuff that legends are made of. It finds its way into, you know, the cult movies on that used to show on all the Sundays,
yeah,
with the out of sync audios and all that other stuff. You know, it's got to be, you know, the descriptions, you know, going over the top is kind of like, you know, for what you're describing isn't really over the top. It's almost, you know, hand in hand. It's just a beautiful thing that you know, some people, you know, spend a lifetime and they never get to see it. So to be able to experience it, it's got to be inspiring. And you know, again, to me, it's legendary. So, you know, it was a beautiful piece.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Hatter, did you get anything out of that one?
I must have missed something. This is where? This is Shangri-La?
Shangri-La
is where I was staying for the last week. This is where I was staying for the last week.
I'm sorry?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. That's the entrance, or are you inside? Are you going
in? Yeah, that's where you check in. That's where you check in to get your keys.
And how big is this place?
Yep. Huge.
Yeah,
It's got three wings. The
tallest one's 26 floors, the second one's got about 18, and the third one's got about 12.
Wow.
Are those real pillars?
It's huge.
Those,
they are real pillars.
Conk,
yeah.
Really?
Real marble. Yep.
And Singapore. Wow, beautiful piece.
Yeah. Ten of those pillars holding up the ceiling. Anyway, Ben, here you go.
Wow.
Thank you, Adam. Adam, did you want to say a few words about this little reflection of where I was?
Yeah. I just thought it was great. You know, you're a whiz at the quick writing. You always do this, it seems, from my experience. And I think it's great. I love what you come up with on the fly. Let it be you're in a taxi zooming from here to there with 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, you've butchered yourself in an accident waiting in a doctor's. Whatever your scenario, I love that you're always writing and it's always on your mind. You take the opportunity when the moment arises, and that's how a writer should function, when you have these lulls in life. And you took that mundane in ways, in two kind of mirrored aspects. You took the mundane moment of sitting there on hold to write a poem
yeah.
that kind of also invokes the same mundane, regular life, yet brought to life in an aspect of creation and awe of the opulence of the space you're in and what that means and represents to you and your pursuits and future. So I thought it was cool, man. I thought it was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. I was just it's a you know a real place, and it's like it's about, I don't know, 15 acres or something. This place is on it. This little sort of isolated piece. It actually, one of the three wings is the valley wing, and it has its own entrance, and it's specifically for sort of diplomats and that sort of stuff who don't want to be seen. So you actually can't be seen from the street getting out of the park, and you can't be seen when you're in the restaurant there. And even if you could, I understand that the glass is bulletproof and you couldn't actually be injured through it. So it's quite amazing with the way it's been built, and the, you know, it basically has a whole wing for diplomats that has its own entrance, and it's built up on this hill. And so you and it has, as I said, has its own restaurant. And you would find it almost impossible to get a shot away from a decent distance. So it's really interesting the way it's designed, brilliantly designed. If you're into it, actually,
if you're into assassination, I suppose. No, I'm just kidding.
Do
people actually pop off shots regularly there or something like that?
No, they don't. You know, this was where, you know how there was that conversation at One Career in America? This was where all the American diplomats stayed, was in the Shangri-La. So there you go. Okie dokie. So we should say hello to Poetic Picasso, to Frank, and say hello to Titus as well, who's on board, and just explain that... no, this is not Linda. Diamonds, I know this may come as a surprise, because it was meant to be Linda, and, you know, but it's not. It's me. And so you have to sort of put up with me many times. and we'll pass over to Liquid Damage when she gets here, but we're almost halfway through the show and she's not here yet, so we won't have as much to pass on as maybe what we thought. So while Titus is up on the board, I thought we would put his poem up, and I know there's a SoundCloud. So this is Pluto's Unrequited Love, an acrostic, one of the favourite forms of mine. I love acrostics, and I will play that SoundCloud now.
Pluto's Unrequited Love. Pluto's Pluto is not a planet anymore, which is a shame. Perhaps with these feelings of unwanted, lost in space, this unacceptable alliance, untimely would it seem, so very haunted, though excommunicated solely by science. Of the rugged landscape Pluto no more, not now, not ever will this planet occur, or ever will it be an obvious illusion, or were it once to befall this proud demure. Universally a shape that is still unknown, not so close maybe, given by the human, what kind of reformed fantasy to some, against the nearest objects further than, notably a mysterious being that's been taken for granted, is how love deplores, each to their own. They say being seen deters a love that's now totally ignored.
Well, that I would not have taken the downgrading of Pluto as a planet and linked it in that way in terms of love, and I would not have got an acrostic out of it, but then I'm not pious. Can I make a slightly scientific comment here for a tick? Because Pluto was downgraded as a planet because it didn't meet the three criteria, and the criteria it didn't meet was it hadn't cleared its neighbourhood region of other objects. In other words, it wasn't bullying enough. It wasn't big enough, and it didn't have enough oomph in order to remove bits and pieces, and so it ended up being called a dwarf planet by the International Astronomical Union. So Pluto is not a planet. It is a dwarf planet. And it is a shame. I agree with Titus. It is complete and utter shame that it is no longer a planet. You know, just sort of think about it and you go, I learned about Pluto when I was young and it was a planet. And now it's no longer. And it's, as he says, it excommunicated solely by science. That's exactly what's happened. You said put a set of criteria there. Bingo. No longer a planet. It's a little bit like, and this is going to sound stupid, it's a little bit like the body mass index. You put that in and all of a sudden we're all overweight. You know, before that happened, everybody was happy. Now we're not. We're all overweight. Anyway, with that said, I'm going to go to Rack for a comment. Poor Titus.
And Titus is going to hate me, but, you know, of all the brilliance you put out, Titus, this is probably my favorite. I love the playfulness of it, but the seriousness of it. When they had the episode of Big Bang Theory, when the guy met the guy that downgraded Pluto, I thought that was hysterical, and it reminded me a little of that. But, you know, you did it in a beautiful way, you know, in an acrostic, no less. And, you know, it's an amazing thought because, you know, like you know, AP said, and I was kind of hinting towards earlier, you know, people are going to, you know, not know Pluto as a planet like we did, you know, growing up. So there's a kind of a sadness to that, that you capture in this as well. I just thought this was brilliant. I really enjoyed it very much, Titus. There was a playfulness to it that I'm kind of not used to from you, you know, and I mean, the technical aspects of your writing combined with the scientific aspect of what you're writing about, it just tickles me to death on every front that you could imagine. I really enjoyed it very much.
There was a sadness there. Set up to write, actually, Brad. There was a sadness there. Obviously, it was quite nice. Hannah, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, Professor Tyson took a blow in his popularity, where he was the one that. it seemed all of a sudden Pluto was the most popular planet, or wannabe planet. I thought it was well done describing that.
Well, you know,
if you took everything that we were taught that wasn't true, we'd probably look at the world a little differently. I'm sure we would.
Yeah.
No, of course. Yeah. Adam, what did you think of?
I was all along. I loved it too. I was along some of the same lines as Rick. I felt the whimsy and playfulness, the wonder he was bringing in, and also the subtle sadness, and that this could be used as an allegory in its idea of what when you are once wanted or you want another, and then it's unrequited or it loses its flair or flavor once it is known or unknown or removed. It's luster, even. Mm. Yeah, it's an even better word. It really was, quite sad, really. But it is, what can you do? You're not a planet, so
yep.
That's all there is to it.
Yep.
I mean, you know what
and,
I mean?
No say in it. And all you can do is do what you do. And I was just and it's interesting you should take sort of Pluto on a sort of different path, because Pluto does take a different path. You know, scientifically, you know, its orbit is both elliptical and tilted of all of the places. And so and it takes a nice 248 years to actually do it. But it's tilted and elliptical, and so it's quite different from the rest of the sort of non-planets out there. Or the planet anymore, really. But anyway, but thank you, Titus, for sharing the acrostic with us. It was most enjoyable. So, okie doke. Now, I should ask, I know Hatter's put a poem up on the board. Adam, have you put a poem up on the board at all?
No.
Do you want to have a dig around if you've got something? And Rack, did you want to? You can always post a poem and I'll read it or something like that, you know, so there's always options. Yeah.
Well, I've got an older one that has an audio that's kind of Octoberish that you could play if you want
to. Okay. It's called Rewind. Okay, well, we'll get to that one, Tick. Meantime, Hatter, I see you have put up poem on the board.
Yeah, I did. Called Everybody
did
Got
you
It. It's called Stuck in a Poetry. Stuck in a Poetry Line.
Did you want to read that, or did you want somebody else to read it for you? First question.
I think I can do it. I'll let you know.
Okay.
And I get into it.
Okay. All yours.
Okay. Called Stuck in a Poetry Line. A sequence of time plays in my mind, always hearing your name. If I design to be so confined, my breath whispers in vain. Following where I sat just to stare at the world so far, now it seems, wandering down, I still can't hear the sounds. I can still hear the sounds, the echoes haunting my dreams. I'm lost, not found, still underground, waving as if I'm fine. What appears to be free, it's just me stuck in a poetry line.
Stuck in a poetry line. There you go. Sort of feels like where I spend half my broadcasting is stuck in a poetry line. It's very cute. Adam, did you get something from Patter's poem?
I was just
Goosebumps.
About to write a comment. It was. I felt that it's heartfelt. I don't know if it's great. Like, it's a great sad kind of piece when you. And he's saying he's giving a piece of himself in these, you know, this thing we do, right? And it's there, evident,
mm-hmm.
but we're just. And you share that maybe this crippling truth or. These reveals throughout not even just this piece of work, but you know, many others. And sometimes it's recognized and sometimes it's not. Sometimes maybe it's not as deep, that well, which pulls from this pain. But other times these pieces could mean everything. They could be literally your heart on the, you know, page. And we're kind of stuck there because don't know. There's a lot going on here. I love this piece. It's a great piece, Adder.
Yeah, it's. I understand your frustration because it doesn't describe much of anything other than a personal soliloquy where you sit and think you're something yourself. You know, I might be free, but what's tying me down? Something's tying me down. Yeah.
It's interesting though, Hatter, because these ones that are sort of broader are the ones that people can relate to often and turn them into, you know, real personal connections for people. So it's interesting. Rack, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, I think it's you're selling yourself a little short on that thought, Hatter, because I get there's an idea in there that I've toyed with, and I was trying to remember the line that I had used, but it's when you can't get someone out of your head, you know, and you're thinking of their name, you know, whether it's in a line or not, but that's kind of what it whispers to me, you know, that thought, that person that just, you know, they're in there, and it's like you can't stop thinking about them. It's a poetic way of saying that, you know. Because that's where the stuck part comes into me, you know. You're stuck in that line, and you keep coming back to it, and it keeps turning up over and over again. So, you know, I think it's a little deeper than you're giving it credit for. It's very much appreciated.
Yeah. And nothing like somebody not paying rent, but they're in your head. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, absolutely. So, well... I am thinking that we might grab Kay's poem now and put it on the board, and we don't have a SoundCloud for that. So, Kay, you're going to have to put up with me reading it, but I'm sure you'll get over it at some point. You know, there's good people who charge good money for this. But anyway, this is from Kay, Quiet Shadows of Hardwood's Light, and it goes a little bit like this. Shirley Park Drive's red foundlings, dangling like jewels on a crystallised platform of a summer lease. A rubbing of cicada wings, their maraca sounds crackling through the heat. Change washing greenery into vermilion blushing. If goldenrod wainscots the deluge cherry red, differentiates in councils of nectarine, pleating their bow. End poem. There you go. Lovely images, by the way. Okay. Beautiful, beautiful words. Who am I going to go to? I'm going to go to Adam to kick us off with.
You know, Kay is another... You said Adam, right? Yeah, she's... I'm sure you did. I think so. Sometimes Hatter sounds like Adam. I don't know how that happens to my ear. Kay is another one like Xylophone Blue. Just... a wizard with descriptive language. It just blows me away every time. I'm always like just impressed to the point of like I needed to figure this out. Like it's I don't know how long it takes to get the feel because it comes so natural. It's their work, you know. Kay just, she's always doing this so wonderfully, and it impresses me to no end because I don't do this really. So maybe that's why I admire it so much, because I really don't do a lot of it, because I'm all like feel. Like, not that, you know, there's not feeling in that thing. I'm not trying to say that, but I think I get lost in the rush in my own writing. But these unique and fresh descriptions, I mean, that's what it's about. You know, that's not true. But it's definitely an eye or ear candy, and I don't know. I love it. I just always love her description. Yeah. Man.
No, I agree. I love the use of colours here too. I love the reds and the nectarines. I think it's really clever. Rap, what did you think of?
It was to the point that I felt like I was eating a fruit salad. I thought it was beautiful. I, you know, you talk about visuals for someone that can't see. So it was lovely because she brought a lot of things to life in so few words. I mean, I think that's less than 50 if my ear is accurate at all. It was lovely. I really enjoyed it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you to Adam for your comments. Hatter, what did you get out of that poem by Kay?
Yeah, I think I've been struggling for a long time trying to describe how Kay writes. She does a wonderful job, but I get lost in it too sometimes with the metaphors and the visual. I'm the same way with you, Adam. I would write more emotional than I as a visual. She does well with describing what she's seeing in depth.
Yeah.
And the picture, I mean, that's a painting. That's Thomas Kincaid painting. It looks like a photograph. Yeah. Wonderful job. Yeah.
Thank you. So we might, I think, we've got Laughing Soul calling very shortly. And before that happens, what we might do is grab Poetic Picasso's piece, because he's been up on the board too for the last little bit. So let me grab that and put that on the board. And then we will play SoundCloud. So let me just grab that and put it up. And it is up on the board now. And thank you to Frank for supporting us and being around and being on the boards. And his SoundCloud I will play now.
Beyond the Pennine Range of hills of the English Midlands is a local legend of a mythical snake-like creature haunting the drear and dreaded grove of ancient tales, where the absolute horror of an nocturnal mistress spooks the villagers. They speak about the enigmatic Lady Sylvia dwelling in the Eldritch Place, an immortal priestess to the revered snake god Dionin, with a colossal snake roams underneath Slytherin, connected to the temple house of the stone-rich cavern. The tottering screams of the doomed souls of unbearable sacrifices, amidst the daunting rows of huddled skulls and bones amassed. She lurks within the echoic recesses of the encompassing darkness, hissing a terrifying tongue with her beady eyes. They fear the shadowy figure of a ravenous vampiric bite, for she is embodiment of a hellish nightmare come true, and the living flesh of a wanton being from the garden of evil. She springs to enrapture the helpless praise of a sadistic prowl. Woe be unto them, the victims of the lamp and worm.
I was just making sure that I got all of the in and the outro there, because Frank spent a lot of time getting right and getting that feel right about the piece, and he's done a wonderful job putting that together. It was a little bit quieter in the front piece, Frank, I know that, but
Unfortunately, if you do tend to go higher in volume in the studio, you can get a horrible echo, and I didn't want to do that. So now, before I do anything else, I have a funny feeling this might be Laughing Soul. Hello, 919.
Hello. Hey,
hello,
guys.
Is that you, Laughing? Hello, how
yes,
are you?
Yes, this is me, Laughing. Yeah, this is me, Laughing Soul. Can
perfect.
You hear me clearly?
And thank you. We can. Thank you for calling, too. I'm just going to bring Hatter back. He dropped, but it's lovely to hear you in
AP,
real
I'm
time.
AP, I'm going to call back because it's not clear. I can't hear clearly.
Oh, no, please call
yeah?
back if you can't. We can hear you, Laughing Soul, but if
yeah.
you can't hear us, please call back. Yeah.
Okay, I'm calling
so.
Back, yeah?
Okay, thank you. And welcome back, Hatter. We lost you there for a little bit. And meantime, I'm going to get Rack to say a few words about Poetic Picasso's piece.
Frank, when they told you that they were going to pay you scale, you didn't have to take them literally. I thought that piece was lovely. I like snakes, and the idea was well executed
mm-hmm.
and well composed. You got your worked in your trademark laugh in the end, so everybody was happy.
Yep.
I think the time was great. I think the whole layout was nice. You know, sometimes when you do that voice though, it does get a little hard to hear. But you know, I think you did pretty good this time all the way through. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Rack. And I am going to go back and see if I can get Laughing Soul a little bit clearer this time. Hello, Laughing Soul. Is that
yeah.
a better line? It
hi,
is.
Hi,
yeah, I'd
yeah.
go these a better
this
line.
Is,
hear you. Yeah, much better.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a bit of it's a bit of a raffle sometimes when you're calling from the other side of the world. I do know this. And
yeah.
sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So, you know. Now, I'm going to get a quick comment, Adam, and then I'm going to flip to you. So, Adam, did you want to say a few words about Poetic Picasso's piece?
Yeah, this was amazing storytelling, dark, spooky. Also, the hint or tinge of seduction within, like I wanted to be prey. Is that bad? I don't know. I think that was part of the hook of it.
Yeah.
You kind of are, you want to be that. You want to be taken by this. So it was, you know, it was a great, great storytelling. Well read and done, performed. Amazing.
It was, except well written down. And it is a decently scary critter too, the Lambton Worm. By the way, it's not really a worm. It's more like a bloody great big dragon. It looks freaking awful. But he did a wonderful job of, you know, being of scaring us with that horrible critter. So now, Laughing Soul, we should get you on the board so that you can do your poem. And I've just what it is. That's kind of fun. So
yeah.
I'm going to put it up on the board.
And I
want to
say
right.
something, Ruthie.
Sure.
Frank,
sure, please.
Frank, I'm going to kill you for this. You literally woke me up. I was so enjoying the story, you know, it's so beautifully penned and the background music and your voice. And there your laughter, like, you know, okay, good morning, wake up, lady.
What time is it there, Laughing Soul? What time is it? I think it
must
now be fairly
it's
early.
Quarter to, yeah, it's Saturday morning, 8:45, but, you
okay.
know, it is weekend, so, yeah.
It is. No, completely agree. Completely agree. So, thank you to Frank, and thank you for hanging out on the board, and thank you for your piece. That perfectly scary, nasty, dragon-like thing. So, thank you. So. And to change things
okay.
completely, so I've put your palm up on the board.
Yeah, thanks. I'll go about reading, yeah? Actually, this is quite a light one, and I had put it up because I thought Linda would be here and she would enjoy it. So, Linda, this is for you, my darling, and Winnie the Pooh. Do you know who is Pooh the Winnie Bear? Do you know who is Pooh the Winnie Bear? An impish honey thief, but a bear who cares. He cares for his friends more than he loves honey. I think I'm a little exaggeration there, but if you ask Ior and Piglet, I'm sure they'll swear. An orphan cub whose mother was shot, sold for a few bucks, adopted by a vet, who couldn't resist the bear's sweet stare. Adventures many with a gang of loonies. Hey, ever thought why we grown-ups love Winnie? I leave you with this to ponder, whilst I shall binge in my lair, watching an escapade of my favorite bear. And boom.
a beautiful contrast to you know, ravaging sort of worms and dragons, and darkly sort of staring the moors of England. We now have Winnie the Pooh. And an interesting sort of factoid about this laughing. So when I was very, very young, the English China Company Royal Doulton had bowls of Winnie the Pooh. And so I still remember Winnie the Pooh bowls when I had my breakfast when I was a little kid. So there you go. I'm pretty, you know, breakfast on the place for me. Put, you know, right up there. So very cute.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, even I have my collection of Winnie the Pooh.
Yes.
I think we all grew up with these sweet characters, and
yes.
Thank you, Ip.
No, very, very, very sweet. Very sweet poem. Rack, did you want to say a few words about Winnie the Pooh?
The chubby little cubby old stuff. Oh man, that was lovely to hear you read. I didn't expect it to go that route. I thought that was kind of an American thing. It's nice to know that it reached you guys. You know, not that you're like so.
Zach, I'm going to pull you one day to India to, you know, let you get a feel of what India is all about. You know, I have no clue what you think India is. You know, he gets too flabbergasted with my English, and you know, and now he's like, oh my God, there's Winnie the Pooh in India. You know, like seriously.
It's easy to forget. You know, I'm not saying you're uncivilized or anything. It's just, you know, you're India. So I think India, I think chai tea and tigers. I don't think Winnie the Pooh. I'm sorry. it was a beautiful piece, though, you know, very, very reminiscent of the childhood.
It's very sweet. Very sweet piece. And I think there's certain things and certain stories and certain characters, and I think Winnie the Pooh is one of them, that goes across cultures amazingly well, because it just speaks to friendship, and it speaks to that you have when you're a young child, and because it's a young character, and it's just a lovely character, and I think it, as I said, goes across every culture.
Yeah, a lot of warmth to the character. Thanks.
Yeah, there is, and a lot of just the connectivity between that little group. It's really interesting. It's just this little band of people that are trying to work things out, which is kind of cool.
You know, AP, what I like about this gang is that everyone is dealing with some psychological issue, whether it's Ior, you know, who's a very submissive, and you know, he has
depressed.
These. He's a very or whether, you know, it's Winnie the Pooh who has, you know, obsessive eating disorder, or, you know, and he has very short attention span. So everyone is dealing with but it's how, you know, you help each other get along in life, and, you know, you're there for them. So it means a lot, you know.
And it works out, and things work
and
out Drax, when you do that.
We have... telling Rack, we even have Burger King in India.
Oh my God!
Sorry, AP, I'm just being. I've met Rack online after a long time, so I'm just, being a little.
No, that's okay.
And I was just Frank's on the line in the board, and he's saying that Winnie the Pooh is big in Spain. For this show. Adam, did you want to say a few words about Winnie the Pooh?
Oh, hi,
yeah,
Adam.
Hey, what's up, Saul? I thought this was whimsical and lyrical and a great tale that she wove with a familiar story that we all know, and I think that's the overarching idea the support friends are supposed to bring to each other through all the ups and downs of the reality, because, you know, it's very true what she was saying. It's all allegory, and but the message is to be there for each other no matter, you know, the struggle.
Yeah.
And we lighten each other's load together. You know, where one is weak, another may be strong, and that's part of that bond.
Yeah.
And the need we all have for each other is part of life, and it's a it was so well done, and I thought it was cool. I would very much so like the spirited, lyrical whimsy of it. How, you know, it was kind of like, it was great. It was great. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank
you. Know, Burger King in India, that is a scar upon the face of your beautiful and rich culture, might I say. Fuck Burger King.
Thank you. And thank you for your comment, Frank. And Hatta, did you want to say a few words about
Hatta, yeah. Hi, Hatta.
Hello, Hatta. You're not talking to mute, are you?
Thank you.
Hatta.
Can't hear him.
No, I can't hear him either. He has dropped once already, though, so he may have dropped again. Hatta, no, I think I'm going to refresh the screen. I might find that he's dropped. So, can't get him to comment if he's not there. Love, Big Soul, I'd love him to, but I can't, you know, I can't talk like Hatta, you know.
I'm here.
I can't think.
Hi! Unmuted.
Talk long enough and I'll find you. Hi, Hatta, how are you?
I had to go take care of something real quick. Hey.
Okay.
He was deep in the 100
acres. Did you hear the poem from Laughing Soul, number one? And number two,
no,
did you
I didn't.
Make a comment for that?
I just got back. I had to go take care of
it. I mean, you could make it up, but it makes it very hard to say anything. It's logical or sensible. So, Laughing Soul, did you want to stay with us? We probably don't have a huge number of poems to go. I mean, we are going to try and get one from Adam, and we are going to try and get one from Rack. But you may have 25 things to do on a Saturday.
I can be here for a couple of poems because it's an international call, so
okay.
I won't hang around for long. So
okay, brother, no chance.
I'm here.
So sounds good. So if that is the case, Adam, did you have a poem you wanted to put up on the board since you have sort of been hanging around for a little while and making comments and stuff? Have you got one of yours you want to put up on the board?
Shoot. Why not? Wait, hold up.
Why not?
This is PG-13, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Not that
yes.
one. I was going to
yes.
go with my
PG-13.
Front page, but it's kind of an erotic, but it's not explicit, but it's still adult
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, probably.
So we'll not go with
yeah.
that. We'll,
no, thank
try
you.
Try this one. It's
okay.
called Bitterly. I'll post it up there
okay.
in just a sec.
Yep.
Coming around, and it's going to be posted right now. There it is. And here we go. I'm sure this is within the rating, I hope. Bitterly. The contours of my porous tongue, rigid and eager, distills of want, lacks memory for flavor prolonged, desensitized to no but the bland, broad brush strokes in one color cloaks. Even the acrid lost its edge, dull and dumb, salivate and dancing wish for sweet or savory, drips of sweat and candy-woven dreams, steady though in the bitter bite rind, and melancholy accents that hang around, tough and weary pungent misery, table for one and fit to be tied. Piano plays me into a corner, painted in off tints of white static and noise. Aged yellow is a life a lemon. notes of smoke scented upon suffering air, salt and citrus squint into my paper-cut wounds, small things fretted, yet fetters of invisible life. In the hulking shadow, obtruse and sterile hang, I ponder tears into another pint proliferated. Even the wet drips fell upon lips' stony ground, a nestle of weeds breed thoughts' defeat. My tongue tastes but bitter sips, is bitter, bitter, if it's all you know. Perhaps the sweet is a thief to rob me, complacent and blank I leave my soul into the cold, a bitter crisp slap, alien to anything more than the acidic, maybe just a nihilism, victim of my human condition, and peace.
Maybe just a nihilism. Getting dark on us, Adam. Very dark, a victim of my human condition. But I did like a number of things, and so I'll talk about those. I loved the use of abstruse. Too seldomly is abstruse used in poetry. And I loved the sort of sense of the fact that there was sort of edges to things and there was sourness to things or sweetness to things, but they've all sort of been rubbed away in some sort of way in terms of the way you started the poem. So I really like that sort of sense of, you know, things that were different, they're no longer there. So that was my sort of sense, Adam. I really liked it.
Thank you.
Now, Rack, did you want to say a few words on Adam's piece, Bitterly?
Oh, you know, Adam is very accomplished. I thought there was a lot of sensuality in this. The contrast that you used were lovely. What was it when you the line with the acrid taste, and there's quite a lot in this that just had my senses going. You do, you know, a mix of emotions and imagery that just sits well on your tongue to follow up with that acrid thought. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
And we've had a drop, and we've had Laughing Soul lose her line in the space of about 25 seconds. So that's
wow.
What happens when you have live radio, guys. You just sort of turn around, and there's a studio full of people, and all of a sudden they go.
Right.
So, but really enjoyed your piece, Adam. I really did. I thought you did a wonderful job. Just beautiful, a beautiful layering of words and images, and really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you.
Now,
you blew everyone away.
Rat. You have a piece, but I'm probably going to have to read it if that's okay.
That's not a problem. If you didn't want to. An older one that you could upload, then you could do Death by a Thousand Cuts.
Can I do Death by a Thousand Cuts? Okay, so let me go to your piece, to you on the side, and let me. How old is that?
The second to last one that I just published. So, brand spanking.
Easy. I've got it in front of me. So let me put that up on the board. And in the absence of somebody clever like Deb to actually upload SoundClouds, I'll just read it. You know, that's old-fashioned, but it seems to work that way. So this is, up on the board now, Death by a Thousand Cuts by Raconteur, and it goes a little bit like this. Clouded dreams proved surely mistaken, convincing me I could touch the sky. Unwavering belief, irrevocably shaken, beyond my reach, no matter how hard I try. One hand pulls me closer, the other pushes me away, writing an emotional roller coaster, looping tightly round my throat every day. Choking back misbegotten affections, unable to catch my breath, reliving memories through funhouse reflections, each silently condemning me to death. I'm as empty as my arms inside, yet another piece of me has died. Inadequately equipped, I cried, swept away on the tide. End poem. I think I got that one okay, right? Well, since I saw it about...
You did excellent. Perfect.
microsecond before I saw it, I think we did pretty well. So I'm going to say a few words because, you know, there's only the three of us now, so and laughing still hasn't been able to get back. But I better say a few words, because if I don't say a few words, there's not going to be too many people say a few words about them. And so, firstly, I always like the monorhyme use, particularly if it's for a purpose, and here it is, because it's talking about a darkness and it's talking about something curling away, and it's actually done in a clever way with the use of monorhyme. Sometimes when people start using a monorhyme, it just sort of looks, you know, silly, but this one actually works really well with the rest of the poem. I like some of the descriptions and some of the words too. That sense of a sort of fair, the roller coaster and the fun house, and just that sort of sense of going back into childhood and thinking about those things, some of which were quite scary and dark. You know, you think about those reflections and those, you know, distorting mirrors and stuff like that. Some really strange sort of memories that some of that draws out. So I thought it was a really interesting piece, Rack.
Thanks, AP.
And Adam, did you want to say a few words about Rack's piece?
Right, it's just a schmucks here, and it leaves me. I've read this, and I love it. The sadness and pain here, it hurts, man. Like, it hurts me. This broad emotion that I felt, and I think the first time I was reading this, you know, I about wanted to. I was near the edge of, you know, tear. I don't know. I just it brings me to that state. And to feel, you know, and somehow I find a power in the last two lines that maybe gets passed over. There's something about the fact that he's saying he's inadequately equipped and cried. Like, what? Like, how is it you know what I mean? Like, to feel that way when you cry, like it's weakness or less, you know, it should be, you know, and then it's swept away in the tide as if it never even mattered at all. Like, tears in the rain, are they even there?
Yes.
If not, you know, also dual meaning that the tide is the tears flowing, like the levee breaks. When I dig into that, and that's what it gets me, and it's shaking me now even. Thank you. This is a great piece.
Thanks, Adam.
So, thank you, Rack, and thank you for the comment, Adam. I think we've probably got towards the end of the show, and we just haven't had Liquid Damage with us. So it's sort of the Liquid Damage-free Liquid Damage show, if that makes any sense. so I'm hoping that Linda's okay and that just... he's had some phone problems or something like that. So, Linda, just let us know you're okay after you listen and check in. We've got through all the poems, which is always a good sign. And Laughing Soul put a list of Indian restaurants there on the board and chains. I have to say, Laughing Soul, we have a few of those chains starting to appear in Australia too now. You're going to laugh at my pronunciation of this, but Saravan Bhavan, which is on the list, and you can tell me how that actually goes, and it should be said, but that's an Indian vegetarian restaurant chain, and their food is just spectacularly good, by the way. I really like their food, so I can get that in Melbourne and Sydney. So, and I saw Singapore too. That is where we have got to in terms of the show. As I said, thank you to Adam and Rack for putting up with me for all the show. I don't believe that you've managed to do that. There's been an award or something like that for that, because God knows it's a big deal. So thank you to both of you for being here, Rack and Adam. It makes my life so much easier.
when I've actually got somebody I can talk to. So thank you.
You're craggy but familiar.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
And thank you. It's been great, Adam. Thank you, Rack. Thank you to Hatter for calling in. It's wonderful to hear Laughing Soul calling in. We have Xylophonic Blues calling in, and we had a whole heap of contributors on the board. We had just about everybody except Laughing Soul. So, as I said, let us know you're okay, Laughing Soul. Meanwhile, I'm thinking about where on earth I finish the show, because God knows it's difficult sometimes to know where I'm going to go. But it is coming into summer for me, which means, of course, it's coming into winter in the north, and so I'm going to go out with the Bangles, a hazy shade of winter. And thank you to everybody. Laughing Soul will be back, I'm sure, and I will catch you tomorrow with Hatter and Deb for our program, our regular monthly program, weekly program, on Saturday night with a team of voices. And we have this week the topic of chalk. Now, so what are you going to write about chalk? But anyway, I'm sure people will come up with something because it's... It is what it is, and I see, Adam, you've already managed to, which is fantastic. So get out there, do some stuff, be chalkish, and we will catch you tomorrow. Meantime, thank you to everybody, and we will go out with the Bangles and Hazy Shade of Winter, and we will see everybody tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
AP.
Yes.
On Wednesday, right, we got an impromptu show with Pretty Bird and myself. We're going to do Frankenstein.
Oh, good Lord, are you? I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing that with us, Rick. Well, that should be fun. Frankenstein,
yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Righto. Okay. Well, that's Wednesday. And, of course, Deb's got her regular show on Monday.
On Monday.
Look forward to that. Yep. So here we go. This is our Hazy Shade of Winter. I love this song.
Good night.
Good night.
that'll finish up the show. On behalf of Liquid Damage, thank you to everybody, and we will be back tomorrow with Talk. Talk soon, everybody. Bye.